This podcast was recorded Thursday, June 30th at 10:35 a.m. Things might have changed by the time you hear it.
Yeah, like because cities have passed no non-professional fireworks laws, nobody will set off backyard fireworks this weekend.
No scoff laws at all.
No, not at all. Just be safe out there, people.
Keep your dog inside. Let's talk politics. This is Sonali Goster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those Sonali Gosters or shrewd politicians out there trying to get your vote. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up in the podcast, our Sonali Goster of the week throws a little dirt, or shall we say, refuses to throw a little dirt to help its cause. But first, the Dobbs decision and its impact on Ohio.
We've all heard it by now. The U.S. Supreme Court last week in a 5.5 to 3.5 vote, John Roberts' yes vote, was pretty half-hearted. But the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade and allowed states to regulate abortion once again.
Just like they could back in 1973, Ohio is very much a state run by leaders who strongly oppose abortion rights. Hours after the ruling, a judge lifted a stay on a law that makes abortion illegal after fetal cardiac activity is detected, which is as early as 6 weeks into a pregnancy.
Lawmakers also plan to introduce a bill this fall that would make all abortions illegal in Ohio, except those that occur when the life of the mother is in danger.
Joining us to discuss the current state of Ohio lawmaking and the current state of Ohio politics in regards to this decision and a post-Roe world is Joe Ingles, State House reporter for Ohio Public Radio. Joe, thanks for joining us on Sonali Goster.
Great to be with you.
You know, based on the leaked opinion that came out this winter, we kind of knew this was going to happen. It would have been a surprise had the court gone the other way. But when it came down, it was still stunning. What was the immediate reaction at the State House?
I think you're right. It was stunning to a lot of people because they thought it would happen more gradually, especially here in Ohio. Within hours of the Supreme Court announcement, there was a federal court that took Ohio's heartbeat law, which had been put on hold because it violated Roe versus Wade. That law was put into action very quickly. And a lot of people thought on both sides of the issue, thought it might take longer to get that in place. So all of a sudden, in a span of 8 hours, Ohio went from a state that allowed abortion to a state where few abortions could happen. In fact, a lot of clinics started immediately canceling appointments.
Yeah, Republicans largely celebrated. Democrats quickly condemned the ruling. They vowed revenge in the November election. Nan Whaley said abortion is on the ballot in November. Of course, she's very much for abortion rights, and Mike DeWine is very much opposed to abortion rights.
Correct. And, you know, this is the funny thing about it. They're both giving generalities. Oh, I'm opposed to it, or I'm for it, and you should vote for me or against me based on this. So anyway, the problem is that we don't know a lot of the details. We don't know how far is the governor willing to go to ban abortion. What kind of things will he put up with? On the other side, what would Nan Whaley do? What would she support? Would she support abortion beyond what we had in Ohio on Thursday? She said that she would support what we had Thursday, but if there's a constitutional amendment that comes out, it has the possibility of going further and doing away with things like the age requirement for abortion without a parent's okay.
Yeah.
Things like, notification laws. Those sorts of things could be eliminated in a constitutional amendment if a group does bring that, and promising to support that initiative would put her in a different place. So there are a lot of questions there.
Joe, where does Ohio law stand right now? We still have the so-called trigger law under debate, but that has not passed other than the, you know, what Republicans call the heartbeat bill, even though it's not a heartbeat, it's cardiac activity. Nothing else has really changed as of right now, right?
Well, here's the thing. A 6-week abortion ban, which is the so-called heartbeat bill, and you're right about its cardiac activities. At the point they can hear that, it's usually about 6 weeks. So it's basically a 6-week abortion ban. And what that means is that a lot of women who are going in for an abortion or even going in for a pregnancy test, they don't even know they're pregnant or they're very early in the stages of pregnancy. And once it hits that mark where they can hear any kind of cardiac activity at all, you're not allowed to have an abortion. So this is a very early abortion ban, and it is something that was put on hold during Roe because Roe protected those early stage abortions. But now it's it's the law of the land, and lawmakers want to go further and ban all abortions in Ohio.
But as of right now, the 6-week ban is the only thing that has changed in Ohio since
Correct.
Roe came down.
Correct.
Yeah, Joe, now some prosecutors are saying they will not prosecute cases right now, if ever. You know, county prosecutors up in Cleveland, the city attorney here in Columbus, although his prosecution of abortion cases would be limited. So that's a problem for most of the clinics are in cities.
The question is, will they be enforced? And, you know, that we're still trying to figure out how that's going to work. Abortion clinics, by and large, have not been performing abortions, so there's no doctors to prosecute, potentially. And, you know, you have some of these situations where it's kind of vague as to how the prosecution could happen. Now, one thing we know is the prosecution would be on the doctors that perform abortions, not the women who get them.
Yeah, and you know, abortion rights opponents have said that doctors could still face penalty from the state medical board. They could lose their license, which would be penalty and also a deterrent from performing abortions. And there's a call that if one prosecutor won't prosecute, then the prosecutor from the adjoining county might be called in to do that. I don't know how that works legally, but we'll have to see how that works out.
I did see Mike Gonadakis from Ohio Right to Life. He was tweeting at a prosecutor who had vowed not to prosecute abortion-related cases. He wrote something along the lines of, "Thanks for showing your cards as we write our next abortion law."
Believe me, they've thought about it before then. Don't worry about
sure,
it.
Sure. And I'm just saying
they're
that—
They're always two steps ahead.
Activists on the anti-abortion side are looking at prosecutors who don't want to prosecute cases.
Now, this week, the ACLU and some abortion providers around the state, they have challenged the cardiac activity law, saying the Ohio Constitution protects the freedom of Ohioans to choose their health care and their health care coverage. Ironically, this amendment to the Constitution, which passed in 2011, was sponsored by conservatives trying to undermine Obamacare. But Joe, let me read you the first line of the amendment: preservation of the freedom to choose health care and health care coverage. And that's what these folks are banking on, that the Constitution says, the Ohio Constitution says, people have the freedom to choose their health care, and no federal, state, or local law or rule shall impose a penalty or fine for the sale or purchase of health care or health insurance.
Correct. And that's exactly what the ACLU is looking at. They're looking at this constitutional provision that they say would allow abortion if a woman wants it as part of a health care plan. Ironically, we've seen this big fight over vaccinations and whether vaccines can be required by employers or, you know, government agencies or whatever. And that wasn't particularly used effectively in that case. So I'm not sure where that plays into this, but we'll see how it goes in court, I guess.
It goes. They've also petitioned directly to the Ohio Supreme Court, and correct. Opponents are saying they're shooting too high, correct?
Yes, they're saying they're shooting too high, that they should have started in a common pleas court and going on up the ladder. So that's another question. But, it could be that it goes straight to the Ohio Supreme Court, or they could kick it out and say, you got to take this to a lower court. We just don't know at this point what's going to happen.
Yeah. So what's the next shoe to drop anywhere in this abortion fight in Ohio? Is it this lawsuit? Is it the abortion bill coming this fall? Where do you think the fight goes immediately from here?
Well, I think the fight over this lawsuit should be happening, you know, in the next month or so. Lawmakers are not expected to come back until after the November election. So if they do pass an all-out ban, that's likely to be at the end of the year when we have a lame duck session, and that could be a wild session.
The lame duck session. It's always those.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of stuff that they could do in that lame duck session, not just abortion, but, you know, guns, everything else. So, it, you know, that we're waiting to see what happens at that point.
Now, of course, you know, a lot will depend on if Governor DeWine is reelected. He is favored to win reelection, but elections have surprises on occasion. So I'm sure that if Nan Whaley were to be elected in November, the urgency would be quite great to pass that in the lame duck session.
Exactly. And, you know, the thing that we're going to be looking at later this year is what effect that this actually has on whether people turn out for the election and vote based on this very issue. Also, you know, there's this idea of this constitutional amendment that people are proposing. Now, that can't get on the ballot this year. It doesn't have enough time to get on the ballot this year.
That's the Nikki Antonio back, the four women Democrats backing that.
Right. There are women Democrats. There are male Democrats backing it.
Sure, but it was proposed by four women.
Right. And it would basically, we don't know the exact language of this initiative. Nan Whaley has said she will support it. But this initiative would basically, it wouldn't codify Roe, because as it was explained to me, the way that it works is it would allow abortions until the point that pregnancy is considered viable. And when a fetus is considered viable, is different now than it was in 1973 when Roe was put in place. So there's a kind of a technical difference, but it would in many ways allow the same abortion provisions that were in place.
It will be on the ballot at some point. It's just hard to say when, and it's hard to say what it's going to look like. I mean, their abortion rights opponents are going to try to codify it in the Constitution, saying it's illegal, and abortion rights supporters are going to do the same. And I have a feeling that the language is going to be, you know, they can't, both sides, if they want to win passage, can't go too far. They can't.
Exactly.
You can't say on the abortion rights side, well, any abortion at any time is going to be legal. That certainly would not pass. Same way on the other side with, you know, no abortion at all, including ones to save the mother, would certainly not pass. So that, my guess is there will be some kind of compromise, and they will set. My prediction is they'll set a week limit. They'll say, okay, let's do 18, let's do 15, let's do 12. They'll be polling to say which one would work, and that's the language of it. That would be the wisest thing to do, but from a political standpoint, the activists on both sides tend to dominate those discussions and get what they want.
That campaign would be, imagine the money going into that campaign if it were on the ballot.
It's going to be a lot of money, and it's going to be a lot of time spent on this, a lot of people involved with it. But you're exactly right. They're looking at this polling, and the polling shows that most Ohioans support abortion rights, at least in some cases. So that's what they're going to be looking at, is what are the popular cases that they could put in this provision that would mean that it could get passed.
Yeah, and the campaign will be filled with distortions on both sides of what the actual language means and what the other side is trying to do. And
It's going to be.
Okay. Do you think there'll be hearings on abortion legislation this fall, Joe? Because you know what's going to happen. It's really not going to affect the outcome. I think people's minds are determined right now, both on both sides of the issue, but there'll be protest and there'll be, you know, screaming and yelling in the hearing room. Do you think they'll actually do hearings? Because the downside is they'd be accused of rushing it through without hearings if they don't hold them.
Right. They could do hearings. I also think that it's possible that they could, we've seen them in the past, take bills that they've had hearings on in the past and then kind of change them and tweak them and put them on as writers or, you know, part of other bills and not have hearings at that point and make changes in the process. So that could happen too. I mean, it's going to be a lame duck session, and it's going to be wild.
Statehouse correspondent Joe Ingles bringing us up to date on the abortion situation in Ohio following last week's U.S. Supreme Court ruling overturning the nearly 50-year-old Roe versus Wade ruling that guaranteed abortion rights here in the U.S. Joe, thanks as always for joining Snollygoster.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Joe.
We'll be right back.
WOSU Public Media podcasts are made possible thanks to listener support. All of our digital content, such as Snollygoster and the All Sides of the Ann Fisher podcast, depend on the generosity of listeners like you. You can give at WOSU.org or through the WOSU mobile app. And thanks.
Welcome back to Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media. Time now for our Snollygoster of the Week award, which goes to the shrewdest politician or political move of the week. And this week, it does not go to a politician, but to a corporation or corporate executives, I guess.
Yeah, as you may have heard, Intel Corporation plans to build a major computer chip factory complex just outside of Columbus. Work has already begun on two chip factories. The company says those two factories will cost $20 billion, and the state of Ohio has generously already promised $2 billion in tax and other incentives to help them.
Intel was set to gather later this month for a groundbreaking ceremony to celebrate the deal and the prospects of thousands of new high-paying jobs. Great, right? Let's have a big groundbreaking ceremony. But executives have canceled that ceremony.
Yeah, they are upset that Congress has not yet approved $52 billion in federal money to subsidize Intel and other chip manufacturers to bring production back to American soil. Without that money, the company says it cannot live up to promises to spend up to $100 billion to build even more factories in Ohio.
Now, state and Intel officials were quick to say there's nothing to worry about here. The first phase will happen just at the timing of the groundbreaking. No big deal. Maybe they'll hold it in the fall. Who knows? But the cancellation did get a lot of attention on Wall Street and here in Ohio.
So, for canceling a groundbreaking ceremony on ground that has already been broken, to pressure Congress to approve $52 billion in subsidies, Intel gets our Snollygoster of the Week award.
Gotta work hard for those tax breaks.
That's right.
Gotta work hard for that extra money.
Yeah.
$52 billion, not a bad industry to be in, is it?
Well, I mean, they want to bring it back here to help the supply chain. They want to have another situation like we had during COVID, and they say to do that, we need taxpayer help. So
can we get some subsidies here in public radio?
We do have subsidies.
Well, we don't have $52 billion. Let's get some more.
Think of the work we could do with that.
Anyway, that will do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster. A quick notice to listeners, we are taking next week off for the July 4th holiday. Now that we're allowed to legally set off our backyard fireworks, Mike and I had to take the holiday.
Not in my city. You can't do it in my city.
Well, you got to come out to Union County. They get the view from Richwood on Saturday night is going to be explosive.
Legally explosive.
It's going to be. Anyway, if you have a suggestion for next week's Snollygoster of the Week, you can send it to us at snollygoster@wosu.org. Also, please be sure to leave us a good review on iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts. And please tell your buddies about us. For our web producer, Michael DeBonis, I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.